Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Happy Monday to you. This is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining me this Monday, this fine Monday. The Cardinals have won 3 in a row. The Bears' offense sucks. There's no way to get around that. It absolutely sucks. Baltimore goes to Seattle and wins? Wow. Yankee fans, I don't want to say I told you so. So I'm not going to say it. I am not going to say I told you so. No matter what, I won't say it. I won't say I told you so. Even though I told you what game you had to get. But I won't say I told you so. Get into that as well. Basketball starts tomorrow. Tomorrow's show is 99.99999% basketball. We will talk a little bit, though, of Monday Night Football as well. The big matchup tonight between the Patriots and the Jets. All that here and more right on the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us today. We are brought to you, of course, by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights. That is 4991 Alma School, to be exact. Make sure you drop in there, check them out. Let them know that PLR sent you. They'll take 10% off of your cigar purchase. Definitely can't beat that. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs up directly to a humidor. Sticks will never go bad. Go in and check out one of those mini televisions they have. They have the NFL ticket. They show all the NBA games. Watch the World Series there. And, of course, get there on Saturdays for football. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School in Channel Heights. And don't forget to let them know that PLR sent you, so you get 10% off of your cigar purchase. So I told you what's going on. I told you some of the topics. I'm going to jump into them. Call in number 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. Feel free to give a call on that line. I do have a caller on hold. Thank you for your patience. You're on the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, it's Lou.
What up, Lou? How are you, buddy?
All right, so what really happened with the Yankees? You know, your take on it. I know what happened, but what are your take on it? And, you know, you thought, you know, what went wrong?
There are two teams, and I'll say it like this. There are two teams that are playing for the World Series. Each team has a frontline starter that could be a frontline starter for another team. If you look at the Nationals, you got Scherzer, you got Strasburg, you got the kid that used to pitch for Detroit. I can't think of his name now. And if you need to go for it, you got Patrick Corbin, who you spend a lot of money on. If you go to the Nationals, obviously they ran Peacock out there, and they got Garrett Cole, and they got Greinke, and they got Verlander. They can all carry you. When you look at the Yankees, when they made moves through the year, none of them was to shore up their starting pitching because they were using that old analytic bullcrap, and I'll call it analytic bullcrap, that we'll just get to the fifth inning and then we'll turn it over to our relief. Well, when you play in a World Series and you're playing a short series where rain can happen and stretch you or do whatever, you have one or two bad games that you get into your bullpen, you're now screwed because now you're putting all your pressure on one starter to get you deep in the game because your bullpen is spent. And I don't like that. When we saw the Nationals, their starters go deep in games. We saw the Astros starters go deep in games. And they have good bullpens. But they don't do that, oh, crap, we're in the fifth inning. Verlander gave up four runs. That means he's going to look at this guy for the third time. We're not going to let him do that. No, it's you meet him for the third time, get him out. And even though Houston uses analytics, They're not crippled by it. And I think the Dodgers and the Yankees are crippled by it. The Yankees and the Bombs are great in the regular season because you know what? They hit a gazillion home runs against Baltimore this year. Baltimore sucks. But you're not going to hit a gazillion against the Astros. So you've got to be able to adjust your game. And what happens with and it's not just the Yankees. That's why I'm putting the Yankees and the Dodgers in that same bubble. They don't have guys that do more than one thing. Aaron Judge is an incredible ball player, so you want him to hit home runs for you. But then you have Stanton, who was hurt, but he hits home runs. Oh, okay. Then you have your next guy, Encarnacion. Guess what he does? He hits home runs. So if any of those guys need to do anything differently, they can't. Because you got the same guy, you just got him playing at nine positions. And I think that's the problem. Gleyber Torres was a freak in the series before they got to the Astros. I don't remember you. I don't remember anyone saying, wow, that Gleyber Torres is balling out now. Because that's what pitching does to you. And you don't have that second thing. It's not, okay, well, when was the Yankees struggling and they said, let's try to bunt a guy on? No. It's like, let's just stand there and swing for the fence. Can't win like that. Dodgers.
No.
When's the last time you see them say, hey, let's bunt a guy on? Put some pressure on this pitcher. They're not built for that. But I bet you the Nats did. I bet you the Astros will bunt for a hit. They'll do a lot of different things. So it's a whole different ball game, but it all starts with the same thing. It all starts with pitching. If you can pitch, you can and defend the ball. Look, the Yankees can hit. Let's give them. I mean, we don't have to say let's give them that. That's what they do. But the Astros put balls in play. They make you work the whole game. They barely strike out, and they keep balls in play. That means you got to work for every out. The Yankees, yeah, they may hit a couple bombs on you, but they're swinging, and when they're out, they're pop-ups. No one's working. It's a difference. And I think, if anything, the Yankees should be pissed at Cashman because you have the Nats who had Strasburg and Scherzer, and what do they do in the offseason? They go sign Corbin. You have the Astros who has Verlander, who has Cole, who has a Peacock that can pitch, and what do they do at the trade deadline? They go and they get a pitcher in Greinke. The Yankees go out and say, we're fine at pitching, we just got to get guys back. No, you weren't. I think this is a Cashman issue. No, you weren't. CeCe wasn't healthy all year. Tanaka, who I love to say Tanaka, wasn't perfect all year. Savino, he was hurt. How were you fine at pitching?
You really weren't.
So I think that's the issue.
I get it. I mean, you know, but what a way for CeCe to go out, though. I mean, you know, injured in game five and game four, and that's it. Not exactly how he wanted to go out, though.
But he went out like a stud. You know how guys say, we want to leave it all, we want to leave everything on the field? He left it all. I mean, he left it all. He gave you max effort. He tried. He's just not there. And this is a guy that's going to walk into the Hall of Fame with those strikeouts, with those win totals, with the World Series win. If you have to argue to put that guy in the Hall of Fame in an era where we're not going to see 300 winners anymore, then if someone has a vote for the Hall of Famer and they could justify leaving CeCe out, they're not just idiots. They're stupid idiots, and they should have their vote revoked.
Exactly. But is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I think so. But Baseball Writers of America will probably say, well, no, because so-and-so didn't go in on the first ballot, so I can't put him in on the first ballot. That's the same. It's stupid. See, to me, the only reason you don't get in on the first ballot.
I got to make this short. Okay. So you think he's a first ballot. All right. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. I can't wait.
All right, buddy.
All right.
I'll talk to you then. The only reason to me, thanks, Lou, the only reason to me you're not a first ballot is there's so many guys that they all can't get in, and this guy's better than that guy. So, for example, I'll say it. T.O. should have been in on the first ballot. There was not a receiver better than him. Was not. But writers feel that they need to teach lessons to guys. And I don't understand why they how they get that superiority complex. I've never could understand that. Well, this guy wasn't the type of guy that spoke to people, so he shouldn't. We're gonna teach him a lesson. Michael Irvin, we're gonna teach him a lesson. For what? Who are you? You didn't play the game. Why are you going to have to teach someone a lesson? So T.O. went in 2017. Marvin Harrison went over in 2016. I am not being disrespectful to Marvin Harrison. He is not better than T.O. And it's not even close. If I gave you one wide receiver, if I said to you, you have to pick between this wide receiver and that wide receiver, no one in their right mind is picking Marvin Harrison over T.O. It's just not going to happen. Hell, technically, T.O. was better than Tim Brown. And then you look at some of these guys that are in and you wonder, what the hell took so long? Ray Guy did not get in until 2014. In the NFL, that's a damn shame. That's a damn shame. Richard Dent didn't get in until 2011. How's that possible? That's a damn shame. And you start thinking, what is it with these guys? Michael Irvin didn't get in on the first crack. How? It really makes you stop and think, what the hell are these people that vote think? So when I go back to CC Sabathia, you're damn right you better get in. You're damn right he better get in. Straight on first break.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Located at 4991 South Alma School, that's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights, there's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
So changing up just a little bit here, the Cardinals are in fuego. And I'm going to get into some raw stats as the week goes on, to just show you some of the differences and why they're winning now versus why they were not before, and how no matter how much you run a muck and duck offense, there's certain things that have to ring true for you to be consistently good. I do, though, want to talk about the Chicago Bears. And I want to talk about the ineptitude of not just them, but the ineptitude of the person calling the plays. And I wasn't going to talk about the Bears today. I was going to allow them to stay hibernated. But I heard a press conference today. I heard the Bears coach's press conference. And there's certain things he said that I just went, wow. Bears head coach Matt Nagy when asked about their anemic running game. Anemic. How you throw the ball 54 times and run 7. New Orleans threw the ball 38 times. They ran 35. And what I'm starting to get the sense of with this team is I'm starting to get the sense that they're becoming the Jaguars from a couple years ago, where the defense is so good, but they're getting tired of what the offense is doing. And I do want to get into that. I'm going to finish that thought. But I want to talk a little bit of Dolphins because we have the man himself that knows everything about Miami sports online with us. And I got to ask him a question. On the Kerry Lackey line, the one and only, the Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco. First off, Tony, what's up, buddy?
I never thought I would say this, but I actually regret not starting the Miami Dolphins fantasy this week.
You said it. And you said it out loud, and you said it on something I can play back.
Parker, but no, I had to trust the projections of David Montgomery. A bit better off living that spot empty.
Kalen Ballage got a touchdown.
That dude was third in the depth chart, too. You never know who's going to score, if they score. It's just a crazy team.
So I do have a question for you about the Dolphins. So I looked at the spread this week, and I said, there's no way Buffalo has enough firepower to even compete or even think about covering that bet. I believe they did. Tony, what? We've talked before. We know they're tanking. We know players aren't tanking, but we know the coaching staff is. You've been around this team. Mentally, are the guys now, the guys that know they're good, the guys that know they're coming back, have they adapted to just pay me on the 1st and the 15th because it really doesn't matter anymore?
I don't know if any locker room or any player feels that way. I mean, it's just the frustration keeps mounting up and they're really trying to get to at least that one win. I mean, maybe I think you can go, kind of like with the Cardinals last year, you can win at least 2 games and still get your prized possession. But it just, I guess the way they lose just feels weird. Because that was the first time they led, I think, all season. They finally had a lead. They could have pulled it off. I thought one thing that was, like, slightly funny was I went to, the last time I was at Dolphin practice was Friday. And I asked Brian Flores about their recently acquired cornerback, Ryan Lewis. Is he going to play? After 1 week. And he's like, he said a bunch of stuff. Centered around, it could be special teams, it could be defensive backs, don't really know. This is a guy who's on his third team this season, started in Indianapolis, then went to Philly, then came to Miami. Last year, he was actually a rookie with the Buffalo Bills. And I see him on TV, I'm like, oh, he is here. He just gave up a touchdown. And this is my question.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm watching his team, and okay, so let me ask this a different way. Flores is definitely coming back, right? I mean, they put him in this position.
He's signed a 5-year deal.
He's definitely coming back. Okay. So they know this is on them, not on him.
Yes, and also one element of tanking is removing as much like cap space as possible, as much dead money contracts, not having to pay, say, like Kiko Alonso or Cam Wake or Ryan Tannehill anymore or Frank, well, all the veterans, just no longer pay those guys. Get them off the books. They're going to take some dead cap is still left this year. So by the time that they get to the position where you see at their worst what their young guys look like and who should stick around, I kind of believe half the defense will still be here next year just based off youth and how they're playing. Then they can, like refortify the team with their cap space and their first overall, their first 3 picks. I think this will be a totally different team next year. But I just find this stuff to be hard to do with a first year coach because he's. I don't think he's going to get the benefit of the doubt next year. But I think you kind of see what it looks like with him and sometimes credibility issues arise at times like this. Like, usually coaches don't survive seasons like this. Not even Hugh Jackson survived. So I think they're going to look so much different. And I think just half defense and some of the rookies that were here this year will still be around, but it's really hard to tell, like, how much better they're going to really be or if Flores is really going to be the guy. It's almost like a Brett Brown type situation.
I don't think it's lasting more than
1 year, by the way.
Okay. On the Kerry Lackey Law line, the one only Tony Capobianco. So I'm watching this team play. I'm watching this offensive line. At what point, Tony, do we stop and say, you may tank yourself into the number one pick and you make it to her, but is he really going to help if you don't have anybody that can block, anybody that can do anything? Does that, at what point do you have to say?
That offensive line is definitely going to be addressed. It has to be addressed. I don't know how much the caps to be used to get some offensive linemen so they can actually put something together there. One thing that was interesting that they really want Tua and they do get Tua, Larry Tunsil's position is not the blind side. So if they can find something like Larry Tunsil on the other side of the line to protect Tua, that'd be more ideal. But this is going to be a completely, totally different offensive line just based off necessity. And I think they have like the resources to put that together. I'm just worried about offensive lines in general because it just feels like the football version of bullpens. Like bullpens, you can address the bullpen. You can call guys up. You can get lucky with them, like the Marlins do with Nick Ganserson, who turns out to be one of the best relievers in baseball. You can hire some top closers, and then the very next year, they can be terrible. You never know. There's no continuity or consistency when it comes to bullpens, and I feel like that's the same way with offensive lines because the 1 year that Cowboys had a really good offensive line, they were in the playoffs. The other Eagles did, they were in the Super Bowl. The very next year, they both tanked. And I think it's just unpredictable that way. And, of course, no one gets happy when you draft an offensive lineman with a high pick, too, because it's how bland that individual position is. It's just a peculiar type scenario. It also doesn't help that this is not the hired offensive line coach that they got. They fired their offensive line coach in the second week of training camp. This is the interim guy. This is all a mess.
So basically, they're just riding it out. At this point, it's like, put your seatbelt on, ride it out, let's see what we get.
I mean, this is really the best way to guarantee a tank, right? If I just give you, like, the worst offensive line in football, there's no way anyone can mess that up or be in a position to win a couple games. But this is also the main reason why Fitzpatrick is back at quarterback and not Josh Rosen. I know everyone wants to see Josh Rosen based on nothing but his age, but Fitz is clearly the better leader. The players like him more. Reporters have tried to get players on and off record to say something nice about Rosen, and it's still coming up short. But another thing about Fitz that is better is he is able, with knowing that there is no offensive line protection, he can get the ball out much quicker. They've been dumping passes to Mark Walton. Most of his run plays have been kind of like quick passes. And just identifying that guy and quickly getting the ball out to him saves them from the inevitable sack. And I think this is why he's most likely going to stick around, even if they continue to lose.
Do you think that Rosen is traded at the wouldn't it make sense then to trade him at the end of the year if you're going to get Tua? Keep Fitzpatrick, get rid of Rosen?
Yeah, at this point, you can either trade Rosen or just dump him. It doesn't cost them anything. It didn't cost them much to get Rosen. It ain't gonna cost them much to get rid of Rosen. And I don't think it's gonna get much to trade Rosen. Like either the first round pick could turn to a second round pick, and then they got that second round pick back in a separate trade and draft. And then what? You're gonna send them off for a fourth, a fifth? If you do that, are you really getting anything of equal value? Like, I don't know how long it takes for teams to realize that sometimes being just young is not enough. But at least he's good to talk to in the podium.
What's wrong with the U?
They're average and they don't know it. Like, there's no difference. To me, there's no difference between the school I went to and the school I cover now. They have their quarterback. They have a running back. They can lose a running back to injury, get another one, and still be good. The defense was awful at tackling last week. It looked like the running back at Georgia Tech was like Austin Powers, just judo chopping everyone. I never saw Al Blaze Jr. just fly like that, like he just like there was an explosion nearby. It's just, that was an awful performance. But the funniest thing about that game was they had three straight offensive drives. The last three offensive drives in a regulation ended with a field goal attempt. Had they just made one, there wouldn't be overtime. They would have won the game. I've never seen a kicker miss three straight times. And they went back and forth. They went with Turner Davison, missed. They went with Bubba Baxter again, he missed. They went back to Turner Davison, it was blocked. Like, this tops what I saw out in Tejas in Arizona a decade ago. Like, at some point, something has to change. And it's a very – but I also think – another thing, I also covered FIU that same day. And their kicker was also – just as bad at the beginning of the season. He's been perfect in October, and he has a chance to improve himself and write himself out. But at the same time, I think just the pressure of being a Miami Hurricane kind of makes it much more difficult to be a subpar kicker. So you have to, you know, it's also, it turns into almost like a shell game. You might see a new kicker against Pitt on Saturday. It'd be the other kicker. Until he misses, and then you got to switch him again. But I don't think going for two or going for it every time is also feasible. So just got to ride it out.
So let me ask you this question. I'm looking at Florida football, and outside of the Gators, Central Florida isn't good anymore. Florida State isn't good anymore. Miami isn't good anymore. South Florida isn't that good anymore. I keep hearing all these great athletes are in Florida. They come up through Florida. They play Florida football. Why can't these what happened where these other schools just aren't getting guys anymore?
I don't know what's changing in the recruiting, but when at their peak, they got their guys. And those teams were filled with Florida top-notch Florida players. Nowadays, a lot of teams – have been recruiting in Florida, in South Florida and Central North Florida. I think when Louisville, for example, was at their best, most of their players were from South Florida. Both their best quarterbacks were from Miami, Lamar Jackson and Teddy Bridgewater. Like, that is still like a top recruiting bed. It's almost like basketball, where like Arizona was so great because they got all the California's top players. They just got to be able to keep their guys and get them. Like, this team has a lot of out-of-state recruits, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if you keep your guys in-house, then your program will be better for it. But a lot of teams, both in Power 5 and non-Power 5 schools, like Marshall, they're getting a lot of South Florida players, and it's just a lot of the teams have caught up to the U and Florida, and now it means more than just say, yeah, just stay home. Maybe some people want to go somewhere else. That's where tricky now.
I just have never seen anything like that in my life, where you go from every year, Miami, Florida, State, Florida, every year. Like, two losses was a bad year. It was a down year. And now Florida State and Miami,
and now they're average.
If they make a bowl game, it's like an accomplishment. And it's just hard to believe that they've gone from that height to that low. And here's what cracks me up. I keep hearing people say Jimbo Fisher bailed at the right time. A&M isn't exactly, you know, a national powerhouse every year threatening for a title. So,
but they're not Florida State
so
right
bad,
now.
Yeah, what's so bad? What was so bad at Florida State that made him jump to a team that's really not considerably that much better than Florida State? Recruiting in a conference that's harder to recruit, and in the conference he was in, like, what was so bad there?
I still think he only left because of money. And I don't know why these teams are bad now. And the but I think what's also an issue is it's hard to be self-aware. Like, when Manny Diaz, for example, got the job, and he cranked that classic college football propaganda machine where it was like the new Miami, we got the transfer portal, we're a much different team, we're a much better team, we're going to compete for the playoff and make it to Charlotte. Seven games in, now it's a rebuild. And then he goes on a radio show and says that him saying that it was a rebuild was taken out of context. He meant rebuild the confidence. Well, that's on you as the messenger to say whether or not it's a rebuild, a classic form, or rebuild the confidence. It ain't the media's fault. It's you're bad at messaging, and you can't back up your messaging. Like, these teams are not allowed to realize or be self-aware enough to know maybe we're not as good, and maybe we can just strive to being good. They're average. They don't want to sell at their average because if they do that, then you're going to have a lot more empty seats in Miami.
Yeah.
You can't get people to go to these freaking games. FIU has become a successful program with Butch Davis. I've seen more attendance at a high school game than at FIU. And they're not that far. Just go down to 836 and you're there. So traffic. The same stadium that brings up the Dolphin fans is like 50,000 tops, which I think is still a decent number for college football. I mean, that's kind of like in Arizona, but you have to sell hype. And if you can't back up the hype, then it just becomes a disaster.
Yeah.
But this will be the case every year. You might think they're bad now. You might think they might end up 5-7. You give them one good offseason, they'll think they're back in action the next year. This is a constant cycle that it's almost they're maybe in worse shape to try to break that cycle from a hype perception than on the field perception.
On the Kerry Lackey Long Line, the one only Tony Capobianco. Listen, before I let you go, I got to ask you. I don't know at what point you hopped on, but I was talking to a caller before, and he asked me what went wrong with the Yankees. And you cover baseball a lot more than I do, and I cover baseball, but I trust what you're going to say more. I said, here's what's wrong with the Yankees. The Nationals last year, they have Scherzer, they have Strasburg, they have Anibal Sanchez. They go out and they get Corbin. The Astros have Peacock, they have Verlander, and they have Gerrit Cole. At the trade deadline, they go out and get Greinke. The Yankees have Savino coming back from injury. CC is hurt. Tanaka, or as I like to say, Tanaka. They have him coming back. He's not healthy 100%. And they're going to use the analytical. We just get you to the fifth and then go to our bullpen. Cashman says everything is fine with pitching. And then you go out and you have, and I believe this is true with the Dodgers too. You have Judge who can hit a ton of homers and is an incredible baseball player. But he doesn't really do too much else. Giancarlo Stanton has a lot of home runs when he's healthy. Doesn't do too much else. And Encarnacion, it's a lot of home runs. Doesn't do anything else. So you have a bunch of players on the Yankees and the Dodgers that really don't do anything else. The Astros are versatile. The Nats are versatile. They decided to get pitching. In the playoffs, pitching wins over hitting. To me, the problem isn't the Yankees players or the Dodger players. It's their GMs who failed to get versatile players and they're sure up pitching by saying, nah, we're okay. What's your take?
If it's the fault on the GM, then it's also the fault of the players because those are the ones that make you think the GM is stupid. This game did not come down to starting pitches. The last game came down to two home runs off both teams' closers. And they're going to probably run the same guys next year. I just think that the Yankees just lost to the buzzsaw that is Houston. And it might have looked a little bit different. But that's the last game of the series was the only game that series that was not one-sided. It was basically both teams trading like uppercuts each game. I always believed that the Astros were better the whole time.
True, but shouldn't Cashman have gone out and addressed the starting pitching? And shouldn't the same with the Dodgers?
I thought that he did that with Paxton. Paxton was addressing it. Severino came back. That felt like a acquisition, but they should. I think they're going to address it in the offseason by trying to get Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole's going to be a free agent next year. It's going to be at least a $200 million guy. Like this, they have the lineup and they have the ballparks to be a dominant offensive team. They don't do much in the small ball, and neither do the Dodgers in a sense. And maybe that's why the Nationals and the Astros are going to play in a World Series that might as well be in Palm Beach because they share the same spring training facility.
Wait a second. You know what? I'm going to tell you what you did to me. You did to me what my wife does to me. I made that point in the opener, and then you made this long explanation, and then you got right back to what I said in the beginning when all you had to say was, I agree with you. I can get that without doing a radio show.
What's the point of saying that?
But because you ended up agreeing with me. You did this whole
I can agree with you, but I got to agree with you with an explanation. If I just say that I agree with you, then you're just going to look at the laptop or just look in the space thinking, well, damn, I am right. Now what do we do?
But I was right.
We got time to fill, baby.
Hey, listen, before I let you go, I got a caller calling in. You want to take this call with me?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do this. Thank you, Roland. You're on the Kerry Lackey Law Line with Casual PLR. This is PLR, and of course, with the Cuban Cowboy.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's happening?
Hello.
Yeah, not much, man. I'm cool. Out here at the park, enjoying myself. I'm good. But I guess just to push back on what you guys are saying, like I've never seen a sport have more built-in excuses than baseball. Like guys don't hit it. Well, you know, it's very hard to hit a baseball. Pitcher goes out and get knocked around. Well, you know, the ball is juiced, and, you know, these are the best lineups and da-da-da-da-da. Like, I've never heard so much built-in excuse-making for any other sport. Like, it's really weird. So with the Yankees, let's just be real, man. They had enough. Guys just didn't perform. It happened. So you move on to next year, like you said, you think about Cole and some of these other guys. And honestly, I think it's commendable of Cashman and everybody else that they switched up how they would operate. They said, we're not going to get out here and get locked into long-term deals with guys who we think could be great. We're going to be really careful. We're strategic about who we go after as far as free agents or trade deadline moves, and we're going to go after short things. Now, then Carcion thing, yeah, you could criticize that a little bit. But overall, man, they had everything they needed. They just got beat. Guys didn't hit. I mean, what are you going to say? You let an old man throw a 78-mile-an-hour fastball by you. And at a certain point, that ain't the GM's fault. You know what I'm saying? Zach Greinke, 59 years old, I'm sure. I don't care what he said. Like, you let that man throw that. His curveball and his fastball are coming at similar velocity, and you let him eat. Like, that's a problem. So, I mean, you got Judge, you got Stanton, you got all this stuff overall. And guys just didn't perform, man. But like I said, every other sport, you kind of hold people accountable. But in baseball, the excuses are baked into the cake.
Carl, do me a favor. I didn't
know
your name.
This is the only sport that does use its baseball as an excuse for its baseball.
This is not.
Hold on, Tony. Well, I'm sorry. Say that one more time, sir.
This is Naj, N-A-J.
Naj. I love that. Built-in excuses. Tony, next time before you say I'm right without saying I'm right, make sure you refer back to what Naj said and he says there's too many built-in excuses.
I mean, this is the only sport that uses its sport as an excuse to the sport. Like, he's right there. You know, you never say it's football and that's an excuse. Like, we hear that a lot with baseball.
Well,
yeah,
baseball
you wouldn't say Tom Brady couldn't get it there because football is a really hard sport. Well, LeBron didn't play well that series, but, you know, they were double-teaming him, and it's really difficult to score in the playoffs. Like, nobody would say that. It's crazy.
Yo, my
it
friend.
Also would be very, very, very boring if there weren't excuses, if there weren't explanations either.
Hey, listen,
like,
we appreciate
I always hear like other people say, hey, just say that we lost. Okay, well, great. Well, then how about you just turn off the TV and the score's over?
Okay. Exactly.
Well, hold on. Well, I'll tell you why that doesn't wash. The only reason that doesn't wash is because guys people don't like, oh, all that goes out the window. So when A-Rod wasn't hitting in October, look at this bum can't hit the play. You see what I'm saying? So we choose who to give those excuses to. So it's interesting.
You're 100% correct. Hey, listen, do me a favor. Don't be a stranger. If you want something to say, feel free to give a call in.
All right, bud.
All right, I appreciate you. Tony, tell everyone how they can get a hold of you, please, sir.
Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at Tony Capobianco. Follow me on Instagram at Tony Capobianco. And check out some of my stuff on 5ReasonSports.com. I just recently wrote a column about a tale of two kickers in Miami, where one team can't kick right, but another one in FIU write himself out. And I figure the story is a good example to what the U can do in order to fix themselves.
Hey, you may have played your way into playoff contention. I didn't really like the fact that you beat up on a 9-year-old to do it this week, but you may have played your way into playoff contention.
Someone had to get it. Don't blame me. Blame the schedule. I was tired of being beat by everybody, especially this Breeze Lutz guy. I don't know how the hell he got 150 points last week. I'm sorry that your son had to bear the brunt of my frustration. Like when I kept Kerryon Johnson and Kenny Galladay in the bench for like a week, because I couldn't justify like benching my other guys, and they were scoring double-digit points. And then the 1 week that I do put them in the starting lineup, I get a total of 4 points. So I'm sorry that your son had to feel that.
You know what? I tried to beat him so bad last week. But I went in and I said, I'm in too many leagues. And I put Diggs in every league except this one. And Diggs went off. And I lost because I didn't play Diggs. And so for a week, I had to hear him talk about how he beat me in this league. And so I have to keep reminding him that I'm now 6-1. And so I need you to take a loss, and I need Joanna to take a loss, because – you guys are the road to my getting a bye in this division. So I just wanted to make sure I shared that with you.
He won't be the first person in this league to feel my wrath. Just so you know.
Yo, man.
I'm going through the rest of this league American Psycho style.
All right, don't forget, you still have to play me again. Just reminding you, all right?
Yeah, you know how this goes. Every anime is the same way. Yeah, you beat me the first time, but I will come back stronger.
Yeah. Just remember, no matter how many times they kill the Sith Lord, there's another movie and another dark side.
There's also another Jedi.
To be true. Hey, buddy. I appreciate you.
Oh, this was fun. Now I got to go back to work.
All right, buddy. We'll catch up.
Take care.
All right, thanks. The one only Cuban cowboy, Tony Capobianco. Let's pay this bill so we can get up out of here.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Don't forget Thursday, Cigars with the Cave Show. We will be there live, ready to roll. Wow, this show went really fast. There's so much still to get into. I never got into the Bears like I was going to, so let me do that quickly before we get out of here. Matt Nagy said he's not an idiot. He knows the Bears have to run. You ran seven times, dude. Your number one, not number one pick, not first round pick, but your first running back taken had two carries. You had two wide receivers with a carry each. Your wide receivers carried the ball as much as allegedly your top running back. Do I need to say anything else? So when you make a phrase or say a phrase like, I'm not an idiot, I'm going to come back to you and say, your two wide receivers carried the ball as much as your top running back. Twice. Mitch Trubisky is terrible. He threw the ball 54 times for 250 yards. Let me repeat that. He threw the ball 54 times for 251 yards. Don't give me he's coming back off an injury. If he's still injured, he shouldn't play. But this Bears defense, it's starting to look like the Jaguars from a couple years ago, where they're getting tired of carrying this offense. And you can see it. You can see it in their eyes. They're getting really tired. So I'm going to say a name, and I don't want to hear anything, well, he hasn't played for 3 years. I think the Bears this offseason, I think it's too late to do it this season. I think you should bring in Colin Kaepernick and see what he can do. If nothing else, maybe that will push Trubisky to actually want to play. Because whatever they're doing, it really isn't working. And don't give me that, well, he hasn't touched the ball in 4 years. Roger Staubach, Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, Roger Staubach played for Navy. Heisman Trophy winner. We all know this, right? We all know how good he was. He played for Navy 62, 63, and 64. Okay? Follow me. He then left to finish his military service. Let me give you the years he played in college. 62, 63, 64. He didn't throw his first NFL pass until 1969. He only started one game that year. Started three the following year. So don't give me that crap that football has left him. Football hasn't left him. At least he was already playing at the highest level. This is the same crap we did with Herm Edwards and Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden was away 10 years. We say, oh, well, but, you know, he was close to the game. He was in a booth. He still ran his camp, yada, yada, yada. Herm comes back. He's been away from the game too long. He's not really a college guy. Yeah, we know he did the Under Armour thing, but wasn't quite the same. Okay. It's time to kick the tires on him. And that system, the way Nagy wants to run it, it's time to kick the tires on him and see what you got. And definitely see what you got. Fun show today. Thank you, callers, for calling in. All calls, man. Thank you to Kerry Lackey, Law Line. Thank you, Cuban Cowboy, for giving us a call. Make sure you're following him and staying up on his stuff. Again, all calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line. If you missed any part of the show, you can always log back on and check us out. You also, at 3 o'clock, can check us out daily on KSRN. And you can also go to the website and check us out. But on social media, the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at the Sports Cave. Cave is with a K. TheSportsCave.com. Again, you can go there. Click on. You'll get right through to any show. There are some shows that are already set there for you to listen to. And you can always get me directly at PLR on sports on the Twitter. And don't forget, TheSportsCave.com is with a K. Tomorrow, loaded show. We are on a little bit earlier tomorrow just because the show is so loaded. So make sure you miss. Make sure you don't miss, because we're doing a complete NBA preview. We have football to talk about. We have ASU football to talk about. And we have World Series to talk about. Show starts early tomorrow. Please be here with us. Until then, this is the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.